I'm here in the KCBX studio with Bruce Gibson, currently a member of the Board of Supervisors for San Luis Obispo County, and you hope to once again win re-election to continue your role on the board.
I am. I'm running for my fourth term on the board and excited to be out and campaigning. I actually really enjoy getting out, knocking on doors, meeting people, finding out what they're thinking. It's a really good process.
Okay, and describe your district for me.
So I represent the 2nd District, which has the northwest side of the city of San Luis Obispo, basically Farini Heights and Laguna Lake. And then it goes out to the coast at Los Osos, and then up through Morro Bay, Cayucas, Cambria, San Simeon, Hearst Castle, to the county line, and goes inland to about the peak of the hills.
So this is your full-time job?
It is. It starts at 40 hours a week is what I tell folks. You know, the district is geographically spread out a bit, and I spend as much time as I can in the communities and talking directly to my constituents.
Okay, and you get paid. How much do you get paid? I mean, is it a living wage?
I've been living on it for the last 11 and a half years. You know, I think it's $86,000 a year. Truth be told, that's what it was, and I don't remember the last time we adjusted it, which was a long time ago. I don't remember if it went up from there or got to that point.
Okay, well, definitely living wage. Because some places, you know, it's all different.
Right.
Some places, they don't get paid that much.
Well, you know, you look at diversity within California. Within the 58 counties of California, there's a considerable diversity. You think of Los Angeles County with over 10 million people and 5 supervisors. And then you think of Alpine County, which has less than 2,000 people and 5 supervisors.
Wow.
We're in a very sweet spot of being a medium-sized county because we can have outstanding staff. We have, you know, really great and engaged community members. And yet politics is at a personal scale. I can spend a lot of time face-to-face with my constituents.
Okay. How many constituents do you have about?
About 52,000, somewhere around there.
How long have you been campaigning for?
You know, the campaign really started in earnest after the first of the year.
Okay.
I knew I had opposition sometime in January. And so there's been a gradual increase in activity, and we're hard at it right now. If I take 50% plus one vote, it ends there. If no one takes 50% plus one, then the top two go to the general election and runoff in November.
And so as you're campaigning, what are the biggest issues that you're hearing from people right now?
Well, you know, the 2nd District is very proud of its environment and its quality of life and the character of its communities. So protecting that incomparable coastal environment is really something that binds the 2nd District together in common purpose. You know, that's an ongoing effort that I've been involved in even long before I got on the board. I've been involved with land conservation groups and advisory councils and, you know, been really lucky to be part of efforts that have preserved over 20 miles of that coast. And so that continues to be an issue with constituents in the 2nd District, but the 2nd District has the same sorts of issues that every place else in the county has. Water management is a concern. We're working very hard in Los Osos to balance a water basin that had been put out of whack while the sewer was being argued over for a long time. I'm standing by to help Cambria with a water supply issue they have up there, although that's in the hands of their community services district. So, you know, every community has its issue with water, and we're going to be dealing with that for a long time. Housing the next generation is a big deal. You know, we know about the expense of buying a house here and all over the state and in a lot of places in the country. Affordable housing is key not only to sustaining our economy, but actually to sustaining our communities. As we look at folks in their anywhere from mid to late 20s through their 30s, they're having a lot of anxiety about whether they're going to be able to put roots down here. And housing is a big part of that. And so if we're really to be able to see people grow up in this community who will eventually participate in this community and maybe run for public office and participate in our nonprofits and all of our community endeavors, we have to figure out how we're going to bring some stability to those young families that are trying to make it here. So there are a lot of housing policy things that we're working on, and how we find affordable housing is a big issue. And then the third big thing that's obviously a very important topic is mental health care services. We had the horrific death of Andrew Holland in our jail, and that laid bare the inadequacies that we have in how we care for mentally ill people, both inside the jail and outside the jail. And so it's one of my prime commitments to see us do a whole lot better in taking care of folks with mental illness. That's going to require not only money and policies and procedures, but it's going to require a change in the culture inside the jail and outside the jail, so that we really do reach out and take care of those of our community members who suffer from mental illness. And we've got a ways to go.
Just in general, what are you feeling out there right now amongst your constituents? Is there a lot of despair at the national and county level politics?
You know, the nature of our political life is chaotic right now. It's in turmoil. And I think people are anywhere between anxious and outraged at the nature of the national political debate. The things we see coming from Washington are deeply disturbing to a lot of folks. I'm concerned that we see that same sort of chaos having infected some of our local politics, which hadn't been the case before. But we're seeing discussions at our board not be productive because our board majority is not interested in discussing issues and ideas on their merits based on facts, evidence, expertise. We tend to get bogged down with discussions that involve innuendo and conspiracy theory. That's very unsettling. And, you know, I think it's important. Good governance requires that we talk about issues on their merits in a public forum and give our reasons for why we think decisions should be made one way or another. In that process, we also have to recognize a reasonable respect for established policy. Government needs to have some thread of consistency to it. And we've seen some dramatic abandonments of long-held policy